Matthew 6. This will tie in the few remarks I have this afternoon with what has gone before. And verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hebrews chapter 13. I wouldn't do this with everybody, but I have such high esteem and appreciation of my brother Alec Wilson that it's not going to worry him that I read Hebrews 13 and 13, or as Mr. Shivas used to say, Hebrews 13 and 13 and 13. 13 words, and the middle word is him. Just the one verse. No, pardon me. Verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, just before I read verse 13, this will clearly indicate that the Lord Jesus chose the place he was going to suffer, and he did it to shed his blood, not just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse our sins, but that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So our separation, the blood of Christ stands between our separation and the world. Okay? Now, the fifth word of this verse 13 is the word therefore. And we have just as much right to make it the first word as the fifth word. And that ties in verse 12 solidly with verse 13. So, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Therefore, let us go forth unto him, bearing, without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, I got a few things written down here. I'm just going to read them to you because I know I just don't trust myself. Let us, the proposal or fellowship, let us. This is a corporate thing. Go forth, the purpose and the flight. This is just alliteration that I've had written down here. Unto him, the person and the focus. Without the camp, the populace and freedom. Bearing his reproach, the premium, or the privilege also, and the favor. You can do what you like with those, but sometimes things come to me easy, and other times I just can't be bothered with them because I get off on a tangent, and all I can think of the truth of the verse, and some are experts at alliteration, and I don't think I am. But anyway, just a little nitty-gritty for the next 20-odd minutes. I've been listening to what my brethren have been saying, and really, I hope we were all listening. But of course, when I read a verse like this, you know, because we're all different, we think differently. And, you know, let me say this, Christian, and I'm being impressed with it more and more as the days go by and days darken. We do whatever we want to do with the Scriptures. We make them mean whatever we want them to mean. unless we keep our hearts, there it is again, unless we keep our hearts under very strict discipline. And this day in which you and I live is the hardest day ever to keep your heart under strict, severe discipline. That is just one thing you're not supposed to do in the world. This is the age of self-expression. And that is diametrically opposed to the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. This is not an age of self-control. It's an age out for self-expression. I'm going to have one or two more things to say about that, and some of you won't like it. So get ready. The whole importance of this subject is the Lord Jesus. As our brethren have been saying, it's unto Him that we go forth. It's in His name we gather. And gatherings of Christians, assemblies of Christians, they make that mean whatever they want it to mean too. But my brother and sister, God's assembly will never mean any more to you than the person of Christ means to you. You know, nobody's born and raised in an assembly more than I was. I mean, I've known anything else. As some of our brethren have indicated and said in various ways, it didn't cost me anything to come into the assembly of God, to be announced for fellowship in the Pape Avenue Gospel Hall, I guess it was about December 1930. I had total confidence in my father. As a man of God, as a gentleman, as honest, as dependable, and there's nobody in the world that I have ever held in higher esteem than Frank W. Adams. And he was there. And I believe it was right. I was raised, you know, I never heard anything else. And I was sure it must be the right place. Today, after 50 odd years, I'm not just as sure that I was gathered out as much that day I was announced for fellowship or first partook of the Lord's Supper as I am today. It didn't cost me anything to come into God's assembly. It has cost me a whole lot to be gathered unto His name for 50 odd years. And if it didn't cost you anything, Christian, to come into the assembly, it's going to cost you a lot to stay in. And your heart will decide the issue. That's why, little by little, I got encouraged to speak a word about this. Your heart will decide the issue. It's what Christ means to you. It's easy to lay down laws. The assembly of God is this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And a lot of Christians say, so what? Why? Because their treasure isn't there. Their treasure is elsewhere. Let us go forth. Let us go forth. Where? Unto Him. You want to know something? That's all there is out there. That's all there is. Just Him. What was there down in the cave of Adullam? David. And that's all those men needed. And everything else took its value from that man David that was there. Where? In the cave, if you please. You try it. But David was there. And he was their treasure. And they were a motley crew. They were in debt.
hadn't paid their debts.
They were discontented, disgruntled, distressed.
But you know, when they got down there with David,
what a blessedness. And they guarded that man. They guarded that man. They watched him. They listened to every word he had to say. And just a wish, just a breath of a wish on his part was their command.
Oh, David said, "Boy, I'm just thinking about that well by Bethlehem there, the gate of Bethlehem. Boy, wouldn't I like a drink of water from there? But
why be foolish? Oh, I tell you, those men there that are listening, they're waiting for a wish, for some indication, something they could do for their leader. And off they'll go like a shot. Enemies, nobody, clear the decks. We're going to get water from that well, just because he would like a drink."
Is that the way it is? Christian, is that the way it is? Let us go forth.
Let me tell you something. If there's any of you here who have the idea that this means let us go forth therefore to the gospel hall without the camp bearing his reproach, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. In fact, what I say might even antagonize you. You see, our hearts are so treacherous. We equate the gospel hall with him. And it just isn't. Just isn't. Bearing his reproach. Where? Outside the camp. You see, actually there's only three things here. Just three. There's him, and the camp, and us. That's all there is. You know, when you boil it down, that's all there is. There's just him out there, and there's the camp back there, and there's us here in between. That's all there is. And that's all this is that we've been talking about, brother and sister. That's all it means. And there isn't anything else. There isn't anything else but him and the camp. But you know Satan's... You know what? He's got high marks on, don't you? You know what grades he's gained? You know his pet method? His chief weapon? His biggest bomb? What is it?
Confusion.
Some way, somehow, just you kind of blend the things together. Of course, that's what Constantine did. Constantine did a dastardly deed in a way, corporately. He really helped the devil out wonderfully.
Bring the Christians in. Give them a good position. They're important people. And that's a big danger today. I was telling one of my brethren here, and I've said it a number of times, Christians
are getting some of the best jobs today because their bosses, no matter what kind of men they might be, blasphemers or anything, they know they can depend on them. And there's a danger just in that, Christian. There's a danger in being elevated.
And confusion. And everything... No, it's not just him in the camp. Because, you know, this area in between, it's more comfortable. You don't feel so bad. You know, it's kind of gray. We don't have to be black or white. You know, if you just have kind of mix them a bit and have a kind of a gray area, you know, you can get along better.
Get along better with who? The Lord's still outside. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I have an idea. I use the word nitty-gritty when I got up here.
I know as well as you do that there are assemblies and assemblies and assemblies and assemblies and assemblies. And assemblies. And I'm going to say this. You cannot divide them with a sharp knife and say, okay, it's either that side or this side. You can't do that. Because there's nowhere to do it. There's no point. There's no exact place where you can do that. There's such a gradation of assemblies. I mean, in quality, in how they obey the Scriptures and what the Scriptures mean to them at what an assembly. There's such a gradation. Where are you going to divide it? Where are you going to say that isn't, this isn't? You know, I find it very easy, you know, to talk about Babylon and God's assembly. In large measure, and I agree with everything my brother Brenham said about that, but in large measure, that's not our difficulty. That's not our difficulty. Babylon out there, let's say Rome at the far extremity, and our assembly, I'm not talking about it really, I'm speaking your language, our assembly, which is one of the best in the country, it's all right, it's not too far behind. But Brethren, that's not a difficulty. What is and what isn't. And no brother is going to come to you and say, the line is right here. Because the next brother comes along and he's going to say, no, no, it's not there, it's here. No, no, it's not there, it's here. You can't do that. But I'll tell you something. Your heart will do it in exact proportion to what the person of Christ means to you. Because I find myself interpreting all these things in the measure that He's everything. So when I see something that detracts from Him, I get wary, I get suspicious. Okay, my time's going fast, as it always does. Now listen. September. I'm glad summer's over. I like the warm weather as much as you do. We live 20 years in my blood. I think my blood's still thin from being 20 years in Cuba. If I can't be warm, I can't be anything hardly. I'm glad summer's over. Why? I'm fed up with seeing so much flesh. That's what I call nitty gritty. My brother and sister, will you tell me a bit? Now, I'm, you know, hold it there, cool it there, Arnold, cool it. Will you tell me the reason that there is such an obsession today to reveal so much body flesh? What's behind it? What's behind it? What's the idea? What's it for? Are we getting more Christ-like? Come on. You want to be more spiritual? Will that help your spirituality? Am I crazy? My heart tells me I'm not crazy. Christian? You cannot be seeking ways, and today, men, nearly as much as women, you cannot be seeking ways to glorify, exaggerate, accentuate all the contours of your body and become anything for Christ. And please, this is something that worries me. I mean, you know, I don't run around with my head in the clouds. I mean, I'm made exactly the same stuff as you are. I've told you before, I didn't slide down from heaven on a rainbow. I'm not made of some fantastic sort of stuff. I'm made of exactly the same stuff, same guts as you've got. scares me. And it's on the increase. You think this has got nothing to do with God's assembly? God's assembly won't be anything more than what you and I are in our everyday life, Monday morning to Saturday night.
Won't be any different. We know what we should be. We can lay down the law. But Christian,
this is a case of, this has to do with where's your heart?
And so, this idea, a lot of you, most of you know that we've had to face this thing in a traumatic way in recent months. Head on. How am I going to know?
Just get your eyes fixed on the Savior. Is this what I want, what I think is nothing wrong with it? Is it more like Christ, like that one that's outside, or is it more like the camp back in there? And when they crucified him outside the camp, and the apostle says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, they took absolutely nothing of the camp with them.
I sometimes imagine Peter, out there with the Lord, saying, hey, John, oh man, they're dreary out here, it's plain.
Hey, the priest. You know them back there. You're friends. See if they'll lend you some of the things, stuff they got back there. It's kind of a pretty thing up there, man. It won't be so quite so bad. Now, if Peter were to talk to John like that, you know what you're going to say, aren't you? What's wrong with the Lord? What's missing? What don't you like about him? Why has he lost the attraction? What makes you think about those things?
And that is why, Christian, I'm going to stop because I might go too far. There's one thing about a commerce man, I tell you. When you got your brethren around you, they'll tell you whether you've gone too far or not. God bless them. That's what we need them for.
Don't you see, therefore, that what is nearest to the book and farthest from the world, what is most like this and least like that, wouldn't it be the best place to be? I'm fed up with this.
What do you got against it?
This is personal now.
It's not an issue. That's not an issue.
That's the other. This isn't an issue. That's not an issue. That's not an issue. Well, he's an issue. And everything else takes its issue from him. If he's the issue,
then everything seems plain to me. When I see it, let's go forth unto him without the camp.
Unto him. He's the attraction. He's the one that decides the value of things. He's the one that decides whether it's an issue or not. What has he said about it? What has he said about it?
And we're all the same. We're all the same. We read our portion and we can just give it a wee twist. Just a little push that way so it won't really seem so severe as what it actually says. And that's why we need interpretations and other versions many times, not always, but I'll go and see this, what version says, see if it'll make it not so bad, see if it's not so hard. Wonder what that says, wonder what Mr. So-and-so said, wonder what this book said, wonder what that book said.
When I get down on my knees and I'm very conscious that the Lord is near,
really in love, I don't have any difficulty with those things. So, Christian, it doesn't matter whether it's your dress. Who's going to decide what modesty is? Everyone decides for themselves.
But the nearer you get to the Lord, and the more he appreciates to you, spiritual sisters don't have any trouble with that problem.
Because they just automatically know what is modest. Those who want to please the Lord, they don't have any argument with themselves at all. They just automatically know.
The day will declare it.
The day will declare it. What's his reproach?
His reproach is what the world's going to make you feel like for doing, walking the path you do. They'll let you know. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
And the more godly, the more persecution. They'll let you know. Won't have any difficulty. You'll bear reproach,
but you can easily get out of it by siding up to the camp.
Siding up to the camp. So there it is, my brother and sister. Same it is for me. Let us go forth unto him without the camp,
bearing his reproach. You know, there's a city that's coming and it's not here. It'll be worth it all once you get your feet on that, in that city. Then you'll be worth it all.